And Smashville, good morning. Thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive on a Thursday, one day away from another Football Friday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We got a lot to get to this morning. So much to do with the Titans. We've got college football discussion. We've got issues in the NBA. But we have to start because Chase McCabe was very salty at the end of that update, taking a shot at Braden Gall. And I'm sensing...
I took a shot at all
you. Yeah, see, you weren't listening. That was the point. Wasn't listening. I believe he said all of us were talking during his update. Chase, you're in a different room.
Yeah.
We can talk while you're doing an update.
Just because you're going on vacation...
But see, here's the deal.
...and heading to the mountains for another four-day excursion...
No, he's not. I'm worried about his safety.
Does not give you the right
he's
to be salty.
He's going to North Dakota.
You should be happy. This is your last day.
Look, I'm worried I'm going to piss off a moose, so, you know, that's
I hope a moose attacks you.
I'm worried about you upsetting a man.
Oh, wow. He's not Buck. He's not Buck. Don't say that.
I'm worried about you upsetting a guy named Moose in North Dakota and seeing what he does to you after that.
Moose Johnston, former Cowboy fullback. He could be out there.
Is he there?
Classic Nick Hill, everybody.
Moose Johnston. It's like Nick.
I want to know how your brain works.
I don't. I think it's best
we should study it for science.
No, yeah. I just think we have plausible deniability when we don't know how it works.
Okay. Yeah.
I will be the first broadcaster that never played pro sports to be diagnosed with CTE. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's
crazy. Taking shots at myself.
What have you been doing, Nick?
That's a very serious thing.
We're off to a great start. How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Hey,
feel great. Got my caffeine ready to go. But yeah. Here's why I feel good, though. Because Marcus was back at practice, and he was tossing around the football yesterday.
Yeah, the old three-finger glove.
Yes.
Yesterday. Had the two fingers cut out of the glove, was wearing the glove, obviously. Listen, this is one of those weird things, and we'll hear from Marcus. But he talked a lot about the injury yesterday and just sort of how it's like a guitar string, right?
And strings.
His nerve has been strummed, and now it needs to settle down again. And only in Music City do we talk about a quarterback's elbow injury and compare it to a musical instrument. But I think the fact that he's talking about it so much is probably a positive. I still don't think that anyone in that facility – or outside of that facility, knows if he's going to go on Sunday morning. I think he's a game-time decision, and I think we got a lot of positive news. There's a lot of interesting news from all the other injuries, but I think it's going to be, how does he feel Sunday morning? Let's go throw the ball around and see how you feel, and if you think you can do it, you're going to play, and if you can't, you're done. Because there's no like greater – like a knee where if he goes out there, he could be done for the year. It's just – hey, I can either throw the football right now or I can't. And if you can't throw it, you're not going to play.
Marcus is not playing. If he doesn't play, if he doesn't practice today, he's not playing.
I was just going to ask you because
all
the beat guys yesterday put out the video during open portion of practice with him throwing.
Yeah, he was.
To have him throwing during the media open part, is that gamesmanship to keep the opposition
guessing?
Yeah, just
to keep everybody, you know, at
you
bay.
You guys are so cynical.
I'm telling you how it happens. No, I'm telling you how it happens.
Or maybe he just practiced.
And then the guy, when everybody leaves, the guy either sits on the side or he goes back in the training room. That's just how it is because they don't want to give any added advantage to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yeah, if you even listen, because I was listening to Jared and GM yesterday.
Porth and the GM.
And listening
Happy
to
Yom Kippur, Jared.
Listening to his press conference. And he's still not right. He's not right. He said he's not right. He said he's not fully healthy. He's still having trouble with this the numbness and, you know, the fingers and the elbow, whatever it is. And if he doesn't get a 4 days practice in a day, he's not playing. Marcus hadn't been in his offense long enough where he can miss days consistently and not play. If Gabbert has been taking the bulk of the snaps, then it's better for Gabbert to play. It's better for Gabbert to play than Marcus to take 5% of the snaps.
Well, this is what I was going to ask
and
you.
Then go into the game. It's just not going
to
happen.
So that's basically what I was going to ask you, because Mac used to not practice at all, right? I
mean, Mac knew the offense.
Mac was a great player. He's a proven commodity, a leader, a great, guy that is an MVP candidate, right? So I'm not trying to compare Marcus's accomplishments to Steve McNair, but McNair reached a point in his career at some point where he just didn't need to practice. Because he was so established. Now, again, I'm not trying to say that Marcus is there yet, but here's my question. Would you rather have a fully practiced Blaine Gabbert all week or a zero practiced Marcus Mariota? And I still think I'd rather have Marcus out there than Blaine Gabbert.
You know, I think this team with Gabbert at the helm against Jacksonville, I mean, the likelihood of them winning, can they win? Yes, they can employ the same type of game plan they did against Houston and find ways to keep Jacksonville off balance.
What
and,
percentage and chance do you give them with Gabbert? Just give me like a
maybe
number.
Like a 10% chance, 15. By 50.
Why do I feel like it's like 3?
But they have a better opportunity. If Marcus doesn't play, if Marcus doesn't practice at all, they have a better opportunity to win with Gabbert than they do with Marcus.
Wow.
It's just not to say that Gabbert's better than Marcus, but Gabbert has been in. But Gabbert has went through the game plan. Yeah. Whatever game plan they put together, Gabbert has went through it with the receivers, with the tight ends. He know exactly where they need to be. They know where he's going to place the ball. The offensive line has gotten the rhythm of his cadence and everything else. And if Marcus hadn't practiced or he practiced 5% of the time, he's not the type – I don't think he's the type of quarterback at this point in time in a new offense that can miss the whole week of practice and you throw him in there on Sunday, he'd be fine.
Who would you rather have, Nick Chase? Who would you rather have? Marcus, zero? Because, like, if I told you DeMarco Murray hadn't practiced a single snap or you get a fully practiced David Fuellen, I think we all take DeMarco Murray.
Yes.
Obviously, totally different position. Where do you guys stand? Would you rather have Marcus? I think they have a better chance to win with Marcus, even though
yeah,
because he's sat there in the meeting rooms, he's gone through all the things, even though he hasn't practiced.
Yeah, I would take Marcus simply because he defeated them twice last year.
I just think it's like a 10% chance they win with Marcus and a 3% chance they win with Gabbert.
I'd rather have Marcus, but I will ask this question because I look at things sometimes from a psychological standpoint, and you guys haven't talked about this yet. Is there anything to be said with Blaine Gabbert and the fact that he's now going up against the team that drafted him? They moved on from him. Is there any type of advantage
motivation
there? Motivation.
I mean, what's he going to do, like run extra sprints this week?
I mean, look, I don't know, but you've seen that before where a player comes back to a former team that moved on from them and they beat them because they just have this...
Play inspired football.
The team plays inspired around him. I don't know. Look, I mean, I'm with you guys. I would rather have a healthy Marcus Mariota any day. There's a reason that Blaine Gabbert is a backup and he's not a starting quarterback in this league. But is there anything to be said for that?
Well, there could be.
When you came back here, Derek, you were inspired.
But this is not the first time, I don't think, that Blaine Gabbert has played Jacksonville.
Didn't he beat Jacksonville last year as the Arizona Cardinals quarterback?
So this is not like, okay, I finally get an opportunity to play
unlikely.
The team. That drafted me, now I'm going to, you know, put an extra oomph into it to pull out a victory. No.
I throw the football harder or something?
Yeah,
like,
it's just – but here's the thing. If you're telling me – I'm saying, well, they got maybe 10% chance at beating Jacksonville with Blaine Gabbert, and y'all saying, well, they got a 13% chance – I don't want to risk my quarterback for 13%.
Yeah, that's
I'm
a good
putting
point.
I'm putting on my backup quarterback, and hopefully we, because either way with either quarterback, the way it seems, we ain't gonna win anyway. So I'm not gonna put my quarterback in harm's way because I got an extra. Now if it was, you know,
72% versus 10%,
exactly. Then throw him in there. Let's
if you're gonna
it.
Have that mentality, then don't even play the game.
Yeah,
like don't even.
Yeah,
I mean, don't even show up.
Look at Coach McCabe back there.
Coach McCabe. Coach.
I'm
Chase
just saying, man.
Two things though.
And what are you even playing the game for, Derek? Huh?
It's not like it's not. I'm not saying they think they have a 3% chance. I'm saying us.
Yeah, yeah.
This is us.
But if you're Jacksonville,
I'm making fun of Chase.
You just beat up on Tom Brady last
20
week.
Sprints.
Do you think the Jaguars give a you-know-what who plays quarterback this week for the
no.
Titans?
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm. No.
But again, I mean, and we'll get into game plan, what we think the game plan needs to look like, and the quarterback probably needs to be less of the game plan. Here, my issue with Blaine Gabbert is – they got away with one last week.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot employ that strategy every week and expect to win, especially not against a better team on the road. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
They did the wildcat. They did the fake punt. They went conservative in the second and third quarter, and then they asked Blaine Gabbert to lead just two drives for us. Just kick two field goals, dude. Just get us into field goal range.
He did it.
And he did it. And, like, I don't think that works week in and week out. It works the one time,
mm-hmm.
and it works when you're in your home opener against a division opponent who had the 32nd-ranked defense last year and a quarterback who's coming back off an ACL tear. Right? Like, all that happened last week. I don't think any of that applies. Everything has to be way bigger and better this week to beat Jacksonville.
Well, I will say this. We all know that Mike Vrabel doesn't like to answer questions because that's how he is. He gave a pretty good answer when somebody brought up the emergency quarterback that they only have two on the roster. So who would be the emergency quarterback, and he went through like three different people. He said, he goes, well, I think Darius might have been it last week, but, you know, it could be Derek because he took some snaps. I mean, Kevin Byard, you know, he threw a pass, so we could use him, but, you know, we might go with Darius.
Well, you know, we got the Titans are playing the Jaguars this week, and we know Jalen Ramsey had a lot to say in the summer about quarterbacks. How great would it be if later today the Players Tribune released an article with Blaine Gabbert's thoughts on all starting corners in the league, and he said Jalen Ramsey, he's a little bit overhyped.
That would be a stupid decision.
But here's the thing. What's going to come back to bite the Titans, I believe, is you're talking about bulletin board material, what they said about Blaine Gabbert in the season, in the offseason. Kevin Byard and Jarrell Casey. And we can pull it up, too. I can find it on the computer somewhere. They said about him during the summer, he's not a good quarterback, whatever the case may be. Now, this is going to, I guarantee you, they put that up on a board in Jacksonville, when this game was coming around. And I guarantee you, Blaine Gabbert circled that game. As soon as he heard it, he circled that game against the Tennessee Titans. And now you've given a guy a little bit more oomph to want to play you. Whereas it's one of these things in sports. Sometimes if he's a bad you know, player, just let him be bad. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to say nothing about him. Just he's showing you he's bad, okay? But then the minute you say, you know, oh, he's horrible, and da-da. The same thing with Collins said for the New York Giants. He said about Dak Prescott, we're going to put the ball in Dak's hands, and they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. What did Dak do? Came out and beat him.
Yeah.
And Collins didn't have anything else to say.
No.
You don't give an NFL player, especially a guy that is capable of doing it, you don't give him any extra material to want to go out there and beat you even more.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on. We've got a lot to get to this morning, including we're going to roll out a stupid poll question that we haven't done in a long time.
It's been like months.
Because I actually had a little bit of a life experience yesterday that was very enlightening. We'll get into that. And then also, is it time that we give a little bit more credit and respect to Blake Bortles?
No.
Why
would we do that?
No way.
Yes.
There is statistical data that says.
I told you this a long time
embrace
ago.
Embrace debate.
He is better than you would think. Stay there. It's Morning Drive. Nick, Braden, D-Mace, and Chase McCabe, who's going to be taking a hiatus, so he's got all kinds of bounce in his step this morning. It's Morning Drive. It's on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Nick, Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. Get to Mike Vrabel in just a second. Also, our stupid poll question of the day. But I sent this to you guys yesterday, and I want to bring this up just because I heard Buck doing his promo for Tackling Music City. And we had Buck in here yesterday for 42 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Way too long.
And Derek was
41 you know, minutes too much.
Digging at him like usual.
42 minutes too much.
But how ironic was it that yesterday Buck was wearing that T-shirt that looked like the Golden State Warriors logo, and then yesterday I send you guys a text message because, again, my brain works very weird. Mm-hmm. Buck Rising is a clone. He's a doppelganger of Golden State center Zaza Pachulia. He looks just like
you
that.
You need to post it next to each other.
We do.
In one photo on your Twitter account so people can see what it looks like.
I do.
Yeah, it basically does.
Because his T-shirt was a bar, I believe, in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah, but it looked like a Golden State Warriors
T-shirt. It was made to look like the Dubs.
Mm, yeah, so what you're saying is basically he's ugly.
Well, and he's kind of like a role player. He's like, you know, we're like, you know, you're Klay Thompson, I'm Steph Curry, he's Durant, Chase is Draymond.
No, I am not.
Yes.
And Buck is Zaza.
Yes. I am not Durant. I am Draymond Green because
Draymond.
I never shut up and I want to make everybody angry.
Yeah, hey, I got to say, you guys mentioned Buck and the studio computer back here just went haywire. Oh, I mean, just completely just like.
Even cool. The machinery.
It said
even the
no
Matrix.
Way. And just died.
Even the Matrix doesn't like Buck.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, it's already too much airtime for
All right, so we'll get to Vrabel once our machinery starts working again. But in the meantime, let's get to the stupid poll question of the day.
Now, the stupid poll question of the day.
We haven't had one of these in a while.
It's been
like
a while.
Months.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't force it.
Dusting it off. Pull it off the shelf. Yeah.
So, and we're going to have some new things coming because our wizard, Kent Harris, has put together some stuff.
Right. Uh-oh.
Okay. Right. Sounds good. So, you know, I've been down here in Smashville for, what is this, September? So I've been down here for about 7.5 months. I haven't had a obnoxious driver like Northeast Philadelphia, New York type stuff in a while.
Well, you haven't been driving a long time
And you define obnoxious differently. I define really, really slow driving as just as obnoxious as loud and obnoxious.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
The people down here drive very slowly.
I was leaving Publix yesterday, and I'm at a couple of different red lights, and twice in about a 10-minute stretch to get back to my apartment, the person behind me, when the light turned green, beep the horn at me. Now, you know I'm usually sending emails or tweeting while I'm driving.
First of all, stop with that crap. Seriously.
But I swear to God, this time I was paying attention, but I was just a little, I was just staring at the sun and the clouds.
I'm busy writing a story about the Preds preseason game. Yes. Leave me alone.
I was doing my Preds schedule for 2020, and somebody beeps the horn at me, and I'm like, it's only been like a second or two. Just, relax, chill out a little bit. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering, what is the proper horn etiquette from a time standpoint?
I'm glad you brought this up, because this happened to me the other day, and it got me fired up. So,
wow.
So maybe you idiots should drive when the light turns green. How about that?
No. I honked at a guy.
Oh, you did the honking.
I counted to three. I did a hard three count. It was an arrow.
Did you get Mississippi's? One Mississippi.
It's a hard count.
Two Mississippi.
A Mississippi is a hard count.
Or did you just say one, two, three? That's a hard count.
No. I went one.
I'm with Chase on this one.
Two.
If he did actual 3 seconds.
Three.
Honk.
Honk.
And that's a long time. 3 seconds if you go through Mississippi.
Yeah, it's an eternity,
man. It's a 3 seconds is a long
time. I have sacrificed probably two cars behind me of making this light by being courteous and giving him a three count like that.
Well,
because it's a turn.
No, I think 3 seconds is not – you're not being courteous. I think that's proper. Mm-hmm. I think the proper amount of time is 3 seconds before you can lay on the horn and tell someone to get going. I think that you can go earlier. Mm-hmm. You can honk even earlier than 3 seconds if it is very clear that they are, like Nick, sending emails looking at their phone. If you can see the car in front of you and the person is sitting there like scrolling through their phone and the light turns green, you can go immediately on the horn and say, let's go.
But think about this. It is your job as the lead car is to pay attention, and you go as soon as that thing goes green. I don't need any dilly-dallying. Yeah, it's just like a NASCAR race. Once that green flag goes, I mean, you are into the accelerator because you don't have a lot of time for the cars behind you.
What if Gertrude's a little slow on the uptick?
Well, then don't be the lead car.
You got to know your driver. You got to know your driver. Who's in front of you? You got to know your driver.
Well, that's impossible.
Yeah. So this person you do know. I mean, you know who they don't know them, but, hey, okay, it's an elderly person. Okay.
What are you, on a side conversation here, do you think that we should have yearly driver's license tests for anyone over the age of 70?
Every 5 to 10 years for everybody, not just for elderly people, for everybody.
No way I need to do that.
For everybody. Every 10 years, you need to retake the test.
10 years is cool. I'm fine with that. But I'm saying every year after 75, every year you need to take the test.
You might be right on that.
Because we need to make sure your hand-eye coordination is still working. Yeah.
So we got to get the poll question up at 102.5_MD. So are we going 3+ seconds, 1 to 3, 5+.
1 to 3, 3 to 5.
I think 3 seconds is, and here's the other thing. It's how you use the horn is also a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
If you just give them a little tap, then you're kind of being a courtesy. It's like a courtesy.
Yeah,
little,
just a little.
You slam on
if
that
you
sucker,
lay on the thing.
That means you upset.
Yeah. You give them a little toot or you hold it down for multiple
and
seconds.
And then how do you tell the difference between the little toot?
No, you know the difference.
I give a good honk.
But what about the wave honk? Because that's how do you make it's like a positive honk, hey, you know what I'm saying, when you're driving you see
but
a friend,
you got
to hey,
you got to throw your hand up like that.
You give the honk, you zoom around the car, and then you throw your hand up out the window hey, come on, what are you doing? Come on,
get out of here.
There's one place on my drive home every single day that is while we're talking traffic. Uh-huh. It's two lanes. And both lanes can go left, but the only lane that can go right is the right lane can go left and right and straight. It can go all three directions. What about the guy who pulls into the right lane by himself? There's no car in the left lane, and is going left out of the right lane. So I pull up behind that car. I'm ready to make my right turn on red, and I can't.
Oh yeah, that's a
because
violation.
This guy's got a left blinker.
That's a
He's
violation.
Going left. I'm like, dude, you need to be. If there's no other car, you need to be in the left lane.
That's a big time violation.
So that other people can make the right turn, and you're slowing everybody down.
That's a big time violation.
All right, good.
You
just needed to be validated.
If there's no one in that left lane, or even if there's one car, Like, and you're
if
the second
empty,
car.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the second car, like,
yep.
the car that's turning left, but it's in, you know, in the lane that could turn right. Even if you're
you
the
can't
second
be the,
car.
You can't be the first car in the right lane going left.
Exactly. You can't.
You can't.
Just
Did
can't.
Everybody follow that?
Yeah, you can't be.
But see, here's the violation, though. Whenever you honk at somebody and you wait the proper 3 seconds or whatever it is, and then they flip you off just because you honked at them. That's what happened to me. And I'm like, dude, get out of here.
I'm honking right. again.
But that's the other thing, that like when somebody cuts you off in traffic
and they get mad
and then you honk at them and then they like throw yeah. the finger at you and I'm like, dude, you almost caused the wreck.
Exactly.
Like, just, basically all they're just, saying is I'm better than you, get out of my way.
Yeah, basically.
And I don't like that.
Don't get upset at me for doing something wrong is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. So should it be, I think it should be just, is it 1 to 3 seconds or right away?
Chase
I mean,
McCabe?
Oh, after 1 to 3 or anything after that, because I think
it's 1 second, 3 second, or 5 second. That's what that's.
Yeah.
Those would be
1, 3, 5.
It's like
which
it's,
one?
It's like a quarterback drop. It's a 1 step drop.
Yeah,
it's a 3 step
exactly.
drop. It's a 5 step drop.
Yeah,
exactly.
So all 1, 3, 5.
I run a quick offense.
Poll question will be
get
up.
Get the heck into the intersection. Let's
you
go.
Can follow us. You can vote at 1025_MD. Chase just informed me that our machinery is back working.
Yeah,
so on the
baby.
Other side. You will hear from Mike Vrabel and why we might have to give Blake Bortles a little bit more respect. That's coming up next here on Morning Drive.
Just a little bit.
On ESPN.
Just a little bit.
102.5 The Game.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take out T-C-B.
Oh, no. Did our system crash again?
It did.
Take it,
Derek wrecked it.
Did it crash again?
It did.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because it heard your voice.
That was a perfect timing.
So we still can't get to Mike Vrabel.
No, we can. It was just YouTube.
All right.
Welcome back in Morning Drive. Nick Braden, Aretha Franklin,
and... Take care of Chase and me.
Chase McCabe.
Hey, that wasn't bad. Ricky Bass. Ricky Bass' first good line. It happened.
All right, so we got Vrabel. All right, we're going to get to Mike Vrabel right now. This is a well-oiled machine. As you can tell, we've paid all the bills. The hamsters are in their cage. They're running, getting all of our machinery working. Mike Vrabel yesterday asked about the absence of the great Leonard Fournette and how that impacts the Jacksonville Jaguar offense moving forward. And our machine is off.
Never mind.
All right, so basically we got our microphones working,
machine.
And that's about it. So you will not hear from Mike Vrabel. We'll take a phone call to bail us out. 615-737.
Mike Vrabel said some things about Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette, and then we're going to react to those things. That's what this was going to be.
Yeah, pretty much. We're going to have to get some new equipment. But in the meantime, Dave in Nolensville is on Morning Drive. Good morning, Dave. Save us on this disaster of a show.
Oh, man, it's not a disaster. It's good. You guys are doing good public service here talking about the 3 seconds.
Thank you, Dave.
So I just wanted to make sure everybody understands something, because you guys said the person first in line to go with the light has got to pay attention. I agree with that. But green does not mean go. Green means watch out for the knuckleheads who are running the red lights and flying through the yellows because they don't want to get to the red light, right?
Mm. This is a true and valid point, Dave.
So green basically is start proceeding slowly with caution and be on the lookout for dopes.
I think, Dave, what it means is begin the process.
Yes.
But trust the process and begin the process.
You know who I fought? I fought the traffic control people. Because they should put into account that there's some knucklehead, but even
it's
not just
called
the
yellow light.
Even just not
they
not
did
the knucklehead.
Put something in.
Yeah, no. Even not just because some people, you know, you get there and everybody goes through a yellow light. I've been through several yellow lights. You go through. They should give once the light turns red. They should give a pause.
There is.
And then the light turn green,
there
and
is.
Then you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's okay. definitely like a beat or two that happens before it. Yeah, actually, there's a beat drop, boom, and then the other light
drop,
turns green. And then the other light turns green.
Then it goes.
is that how it happens?
Yeah.
Green, yellow. It's like a 2-year-old's nursery rhyme.
All right, let's give Blake Bortles a little bit of love and a little bit of respect. The heck with Mike Vrabel's audio.
I have it now.
Third try.
All right,
third time.
Let's see if it works.
I know you have to prepare for both situations, whether Fournette plays or doesn't play, but they're pretty successful even when they don't have him in the lineup. What's the dynamic change for their offense when he isn't available to them?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we're going to have to stop the run regardless of who's in there. They got three good backs, and you could throw the quarterback in there as well. I mean, he's got 77 yards on 10 carries. It's pretty good average right now, first two games. The dynamic is, you know, we're going to have to stop the run. And so making sure that we do that, they came out in multiple personnel groups against the Giants that we'll have to be ready for. New England, they felt that the game plan was best played in 11 personnel. Whatever decision they made, it was the right one. They looked good and gained a bunch of yards.
So that was Mike Vrabel. And here's the stat of all stats that will blow you away if you're a Tennessee Titans fan. The Jacksonville Jaguars, without Leonard Fournette in a year plus since he's been in the league, are 4-0 without him, and they average 30-plus points per game. Blake Bortles' quarterback rating, 113. That makes no sense. How is that possible?
Leonard Fournette, overrated.
Could be.
I've said this for the last couple of years because, you know, everybody wants to talk about how horrible Blake Bortles is. And he plays, yes, he plays bad at times. I give it to everybody. But if you look at his stats and then you look at our quarterback stats, they're sort of kind of almost the same, with the exception of the interceptions. They're almost sort of kind of
ballpark. Well, that and he's 3-1, you know, head-to-head against Bortles.
Yeah, but
so I'll take that stat.
It's Bortles is not as good as maybe Jacksonville fans, you know, the last couple of weeks think he is, and he's not as bad as some people say he is. Blake Bortles is a okay quarterback, okay to good quarterback at times. There's a reason why Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone chose to keep him. They see something. He's buying into what they want him to do.
But they're not committed to him, if I'm correct. They're not committed to him long term. I think
they extended his contract another year.
So it's kind of like wait and see?
Yeah. But Blake is doing exactly what they want him to do. That's just what he's been in the AFC Championship game. He's gotten his team to the playoffs. He's cut down on his turnovers. Last year, I think he was, with the exception of maybe the yardage, but, you know, he was a 60% passer last year. His quarterback rating went up. The last 2 years, he's been a 60% passer. Now, if this was our quarterback, it's great. You know, he's on his way, but it's not quarterback.
I'm just surprised
Blake
because
does enough. He's not. You know what Blake's not doing now? He's not beating them. Because even the AFC Championship game wasn't his fault.
But Jacksonville went out. They drafted Leonard Fournette because they wanted to have that bell cow running back, that 25-carry guy. And there's been games, like I said, these four where he's been out. You know, they've had to rely on T.J. Yeldon, who's been a disappointment, Corey Grant from Auburn, Chris Ivory. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's just baffling to me that he could be this good when the focal point of their offense is MIA.
Let me throw a few stats out here on Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles has now more career wins against the Patriots than Tom Brady. That's one. Tom Brady has zero wins against the Patriots. So Blake Bortles clearly way better against the Patriots than Tom Brady is. Blake Bortles also has more wins, too, than the Bills, Patriots, Raiders, Browns, Steelers, Texans, Giants, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Lions combined, which is one W between the two of them.
Are you reading Bortles facts? the greatest Twitter account of all time.
I don't know what you're talking about. he has more career wins against the Patriots than Tom Brady does, so clearly he's a better player than Tom Brady. He also has three fewer Super Bowl losses than Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady's lost a lot more Super Bowls than Blake Bortles has. So
Bortles is also undefeated in teal pants because this Sunday the Jaguars are going to be unveiling a new uniform combination with white tops and teal bottoms. And they've never worn them before, so you've never lost in them. He's undefeated in them.
Because it's a new uniform.
Exactly.
Yeah, Blake Bortles has never lost the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, as a point of fact.
Hey, he's never lost one.
Do we feel that Blake Bortles could actually elevate his game because they have a decent-looking helmet now?
It's funny you say that because I was watching some of the game against the Patriots, and I was like, I feel like they've gone back to being a normal football team by not having that two-tone crap. Here's another one for you. Blake Bortles and Tom Brady have combined for 5 Super Bowl championships, 4 Super Bowl MVP awards, 13 Pro Bowls, 3 NFL MVPs, 3 first-team All-Pros, and 2 Offensive Player of the Year awards.
Hey, Blake is doing his thing.
So, that combination will get them in the Hall of Fame.
I'm just pointing out facts.
Yeah.
These are facts. at Bortles Facts on Twitter.
Are you surprised?
You can learn more about Blake Bortles.
He's actually had a good start considering Allen Robinson is now with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Allen Hurns is with the Cowboys. I mean, I know we saw Keelan Cole kind of break out last year. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Jaguars, at least on paper, you don't think of many guys that you would have on your fantasy football team.
No, I don't think Blake would be one of those guys that you draft in the first five rounds. I don't think that would happen. Maybe even six. It depends on how many rounds you got. You might pick him up as a free agent when your quarterback goes down. But I'm not surprised because of the way he played last year. He has bought in to exactly what they want him to do. And that is to, you know, go out there, be the emotional leader. Don't try to win the game by yourself. Use the guys around you. Allow the guys to make plays. And the rest to take care of, our defense to take care of everything else. You know, just don't do anything that's going to beat us. And here's the one thing. Here's the one interesting stat or best stat about Blake Bortles is that all but one season, he's played 16 games.
Availability.
He's been there.
Something Marcus doesn't have.
The first year, 2014, he played 14 games.
I'm sorry, it's been 16. I'm reading Bortles facts. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's been 16 games. So his availability, for the most part, you know, he's been able to be under – they know what they know who's going to be under center. Sometimes they probably didn't like it, but they know who's going to be under center for them every game.
Blake Bortles has never, ever been suspended by the NFL for deflating footballs. Zero games lost. You talked about playing all 16. Mm-hmm. He's never once.
It's hard to do when you play 16 games and not, you know, be tempted to deflate footballs.
No team that
I was tempted to deflate.
No team that's ever defeated Blake Bortles in the playoffs has ever gone on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right about that.
They're 0-1 in Super Bowls.
Well, you use up a lot of your energy.
Exactly.
It's hard to
actually get it. What's funny is that's probably not actually that strange. I mean, beating Jacksonville could actually take a physical toll on you in the playoffs. So you made like an actual point there.
The one thing I think the Titans have got to do this week too, and Vrabel said it in that piece of audio, you got to keep Blake Bortles in check, not just throwing the ball, but he's actually a mobile quarterback. Like, I know people see him and think, oh, he's about as big as Ben Roethlisberger. He can move.
Yeah. A young Ben was mobile. Flacco's mobile, and I'm just talking about quarterbacks in that, you know, kind of in that stature, mm-hmm. you know, that physique, mm-hmm. big guys that look, you know, like they can't move, but they can. He's an effect. He can extend the play. He's strong enough to take on a tackler and still stay up. And then he has speed enough to get down the field when he needs to. When he needs to scramble, he can do that.
All right, coming up next, there's an interesting trend in the NFL right now offensively that we believe the Tennessee Titans need to implement immediately with this game against the Jaguars.
Scoring touchdowns.
We will, all that too. We'll get into that coming
scoring
up next.
Scoring more points than the other guy.
It's Morning Drive here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Speaking of the other guy, you know we're not using him anymore. We're only using Xfinity. So one of the things I love about Xfinity, the many, many things, of course, that I love about Xfinity is trying to find the content that you want. You don't always know, like you may know the actor or the name of the show that you want to see, but you don't always know what channel it's on or who's got it or where you can watch it or what system you can watch it off of, whether it's Netflix or whether it's HBO or whether it's a regular channel, whether it's on demand or not. The easiest way, Xfinity has you covered when it comes to trying to find the content. So this documentary, Wild Wild Country, I really wanted to watch it yesterday, and I forgot where it was, so I had a few minutes in the afternoon, so I was going to sit down and give myself a break for about 45 minutes, and I go to the X1 voice remote on the Xfinity remote, and I say, Wild Wild Country, and boom, up it pops, Netflix, which I should have remembered, but Xfinity did the work for me, and because Netflix is integrated into my Xfinity box, I don't have to do anything. I just push the button, I say, Wild Wild Country, right into the remote, and boom, up pops this really crazy documentary about this really weird story in Oregon in the 80s. And you should watch it, and Xfinity will help you watch it. So get started today. Call 1-800-XFINITY, visit Xfinity.com, or drop it to an Xfinity store today for more details.
Welcome back in. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase. Lot to get to this morning. We'll go behind enemy lines with a Jacksonville Jaguars reporter, Mike DeRocco from ESPN NFL Nation. Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean is going to join us. A lot to do this morning. But let's get to one thing, because Braden, you actually you brought up something interesting yesterday during one of the breaks about how running backs throughout the NFL are catching passes out of the backfield at really a crazy rate. And you brought up a couple of guys like Chris Thompson in Washington and a handful of other players. And if you think about this matchup coming up against Jacksonville, that might actually be the way to go, considering that secondary is so good.
Well, so we all talked about when they signed Deion Lewis he's going to be heavily targeted in the passing game. We all talked about that. We looked at Matt LaFleur's stats and his offenses and how often they targeted running backs. Like, I think there was something like 120 targets, something like that, for running backs last year for the Rams. Last year for the Titans, they targeted the running backs like 70 times. Something, it was almost a 2-to-1 ratio of number of times that this malarkey Rubisky offense targeted the running back versus the number of times Matt LaFleur targeted the running back. Then they went out and got Deion Lewis, who is great at catching passes and being in the open field. So we all said, oh, all right, they're going to target the running backs a lot. We saw it in the preseason games, right? He caught a couple of swing passes, a few angle routes. They even threw Derrick Henry a screen pass. So we thought, all right, this is going to be a bigger part of the offense. Well, here's the deal. Christian McCaffrey is like fifth in the NFL with 24 targets. He has 20 receptions. Saquon Barkley has been targeted 22 times in two games. He has 16 catches. Chris Thompson for the Redskins has 21 targets, 19 receptions. These are running backs. 20 targets for Melvin Gordon, who is not considered a third-down scat back like Chris Thompson. He's considered like a true three-down back. 15 receptions on 20 targets. Theo Riddick, who is a pass-catching running back for Detroit, 14 receptions, 19 targets. Alvin Kamara, sort of the poster child of the modern NFL running back, right? 18 targets, 15 receptions. You're getting the point here. James White, 11 targets, or 11 catches. Allen, 10 catches. You know how many times Deion Lewis has been targeted in two games and where it ranks amongst just NFL running backs?
I'm going to say a total of 2 targets.
Oh, that's no.
No.
That's crazy. He's got 6 catches.
Okay.
But he is like, he is 17th in the NFL amongst just running backs when it comes to targets. He has been targeted 9 times.
And some of those running backs that you mentioned, like Barkley and Kamara, I mean, both of those teams have quarterbacks that can get the ball down the field, and they've got receivers like Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas. You would think with the Titans lacking that guy, you would get, to your point, more Lewis.
And without, like you said, without Walker against the Jags defense that's going to be fast and coming up the field at you, 9 targets. Again, I'm looking at McCaffrey, 24 targets. Barkley, we're talking 12 targets per game. Deion Lewis is being targeted 4 times per game. I want to see that number be at 8 or 9 this week. I want to see him with 5 or 6 catches and 8 or 9 or 10 targets. I need to see Deion Lewis be more involved in the passing game.
Do you think that it's Matt LaFleur knowing what he already has in Deion Lewis and saying, yeah, I know we can game plan for Deion Lewis when we have to later on in the season because I know what he's already about, but I'm going to try to get the other guys that are, you know, less accomplished involved early in the season? Do you think that was Matt LaFleur's logic?
Derek, I'll ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you think that coaches are like, yeah, I'm gonna slow play this player because I think he's too good. I don't want to use him yet. You think that happens?
My secret weapon.
Like every game, I just don't think that happens.
I think
in the NFL.
They're just trying to still figure out how this running back combination is going to go. How are we going to use, Derrick Henry? How are we going to use Deion Lewis? Who has the hot end? And I think even Vrabel even mentioned, you know, about a guy having a hot hand. Who do you continue to, you know, roll with? Who don't you? So that's how it's going to be moving forward. I think they're just going, unless one guy just, you know, solidifies himself as the guy and the offense is totally different in there. You know, they're moving positive down the field with that one guy. Now, if that happens, then okay, whoever it is, Derrick Henry or Deion Lewis. But these two guys have been so, you know, even, you know, to a point where it's hard for one guy to be the lead dog right now. So it's more so of a feel with Vrabel and LaFleur on, you know, who gets the most carries during the game. If Deion Lewis is ripping off, you know, 4 or 5 yarders and the offense seems to be, you know, flowing well and everything look crisp and quick, then Deion Lewis is going to stay in the game. But if Derrick Henry comes in and, you know, they're grinding out yardage and they're wearing the defense down, then I think they're more amped to keep Derrick Henry in the game rather than Deion Lewis.
Didn't that make it weird then when Derrick Henry was in the game picking up all these yards and then on third and one they go to Deion Lewis with
well,
the carry?
Yeah, he said
like
he,
that seemed
yeah,
like an odd.
He said
decision.
He made a mistake, and that's and I think that
sometimes you just screw up.
Yeah, I think that's a rookie mistake because he wasn't. I don't think he in again. This is his first year being a head coach, and there are a lot of things just trial by error. And he pretty much said, you know, trial by error, my fault. I should have recognized and realized, you know, what was going on, the feel of the offense at the time. I think he said he was trying to get some other things and, you know,
right,
set within the team. And he didn't quite have the feel of that drive. So he just out of, you know, it was just habit. Okay, Derrick Henry ran the ball, you know, four or five times. Let me throw Deion Lewis in there now. Well, hindsight, he probably, and he so much said it, he wish he would have just left Derrick Henry in the game for, because that's right, the type of situation you want Derrick Henry in for.
And I agree that the flow of the game and who's got the hot hand, I think that's the right way to play it. I'm mm-hmm, totally on board with that. I just think from a strategy standpoint, when you look at these pass-catching running backs, because that's what the NFL is the running back position is no longer. You know, there's like three dudes on the planet that are mm-hmm, Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson in his prime, or guys that can be true three-down workhorse bell cow guy. Like, those guys don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But we do have this explosion of these pass catchers. And when you have one of those guys, you have to exploit that guy and use that guy. And I see Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, who's probably a true three-down guy, Chris Thompson, Theo Riddick, Alvin Kamara, James White. These are guys who are sort of in the Deion Lewis mold, and they're being targeted more than twice as many times as he is in through two games. It's just two games, and maybe the game plan didn't call for it. But I think at some point during this year, the evolution of the running back position in the modern NFL offense and the way these guys are being used, Christian McCaffrey has 24 targets. There's only like three receivers that have more targets than Christian McCaffrey.
But here's the problem with that is that the Carolina Panthers, who's their second back? Nobody knows, you know. So McCaffrey is the lead dog. Kamara, well, Ingram's out. So Kamara, if Ingram was playing, it wouldn't be that way. So now that Ingram's not playing, so Kamara's the lead dog.
But he's not getting that many carries, yeah, though, either.
But like, it's just touches, period. He's in the game more.
But they're
now
throwing him the ball.
That's like what I'm saying. He's in the game more now. Because if Ingram is playing, Ingram is a good pass catcher, too. So they're going to throw right, the ball to him. Now, with the Titans, you have two guys. You legitimately, whether they are the greatest or not, but you have two guys that are capable of running a football effective at times.
Well, what's interesting,
so it's
going
to take away from Deion Lewis being out there.
Through two games, and granted, we've had some a bizarre first 2 weeks of the season, mm-hmm, one-third of the targets have gone to Corey Davis. Corey Davis has 20 targets, and to your point, Braden,
I'm okay with that.
Next closest is Deion Lewis with 9, and who do we talk about all summer long?
I'm not okay with that.
It really might just be the fact that Marcus hasn't played most of the games and that we had this crazy game against.
No, but even the first game, they targeted him.
If you look at it, Corey Davis,
there's not a lot of pass attempts, is what I'm saying, through two games in general.
Yeah, only 60 total. Corey Davis has 20 targets, Deion Lewis, 9. Delanie Walker out for the year, he has 7. And then you've got Taywan Taylor with 5, Tajay Sharp with 5, Rashard Matthews, 4, Jonnu Smith, 3.
But here's the thing. This is why I don't like it. Because out of those 20 targets somewhere, they haven't produced a touchdown, and they haven't produced any meaningful yards that has Jacksonville thinking like, man, we really need to cover this guy. That's the problem. And maybe it's just, and it's not Corey Davis's. I'm not blaming this on Corey Davis, but if you're going to target a guy, make that guy your highest priority in the passing game, there needs to be some touchdowns. There needs to be some big plays. I mean, some chunk plays in there. So, and again, it's not Corey Davis's fault. It's just the way the offense is ran.
And there is something to be said about consistently showing up every single week. And Floyd was saying this yesterday. Corey Davis, what he likes about Corey Davis so far is that he's going to show up, and every single week you know you're going to get 5 or 6 catches, mm-hmm, and a couple of first downs and 50 or 60 or 70 yards. And eventually you're going to need the big play.
But that's
and,
not
– And you're going to need touchdowns.
I draft that guy in the fifth round.
No, I'm with
or
you.
Sixth round.
There needs to be another – but there has been signs of life. Here's the number, by the way. Tennessee, 60 pass attempts on the year. San Francisco, Kansas City, ironically. Dallas and Miami are the only teams that have fewer. So they're 28th in the NFL in pass attempts.
But
so,
see, Kansas City are meaningful yards.
Maximizing everything. Exactly. They also, again,
they have
we have to take. They
yeah,
have,
they have
like,
speedsters.
They got like four dudes that are just flat awesome on offense.
So Mahomes
around
is throwing
him.
Like a touchdown every five passes?
Basically. But I think that's part of the reason there aren't as many targets for Deion or anybody else is that they haven't thrown the ball a lot because Blaine Gabbert's been in the game. They only threw the ball 20 times. Mm-hmm. In that game or whatever. So he did. I think Deion Lewis in this game to slow down the Jacksonville pass rush, I want to see 10 targets. Throw him the football 10 times this week. That's what I think could work.
All right, coming up next with the football weekend on tap, the Vols, Vandy, and the Titans are all underdogs. Who do you have the most confidence in to pull off the upset? We'll get into that next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.